This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a Packers win over the Cleveland Browns yesterday. To do that, we have a special guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Jesse Garcia of TMJ Forum Milwaukee, author of the new book, My Life with the Green and Gold. Ms. Garcia, how are you doing this morning?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me on, Brian.
Looking forward to it. Glad to have you joining us. In light of recent news here, we have to start the show with a little bit of a discussion with Jermichael Finley. Injured in yesterday's game, took a hit to the head, the neck area late in the fourth quarter. Reports coming out today from Chris Mortensen of ESPN that Jermichael Finley is in the intensive care unit of a local hospital. Certainly depressing news, certainly not the thing you wanted to wake up to on a Monday morning, but Jesse, I mean, what was your reaction to seeing Jermichael Finley out on the field, just kind of motionless yesterday?
Yeah, just sickened like everybody else. I mean, you know it's part of the game, but it's still so hard to actually see when something like that happens, and especially now that we know so much about concussions and about long-term injuries, and you can't help but think about Nick Collins. And, you know, what if it's one of those kind of freaky injuries that winds up being season-ending, or career-ending, I should say? It's really hard to watch, and it makes it hard to swallow. I love football, as do, you know, most Packer fans, a lot of people in Wisconsin. But it's that part of the game is so hard to reconcile. And, you know, what can we do about it? It's, things that rule changes, equipment changes, things like that that they've been trying, but it's a physical game, and it's always going to be a physical game.
In light of the injury here, I mean, we don't know anything really in details and specific at this point, but what have you ever seen a team as snake-bitten with injuries as the Green Bay Packers? You go back to the Super Bowl year, you go back to last season. This team just deals with these injuries. How do they move on from here?
Sure. You know, on the air last week, I said that the injury bug is like an ant at a picnic around the Packers right now. And there have been a ton of injuries. But that Super Bowl year, there were so many that it was just stunning to me how they kept on going and actually won the whole, you know, kabang. So I think that anything is possible. It's always a next man up mentality in the NFL. And, you know, the next man up can really step into his role very successfully as well. So every team is going to deal with injuries to some degree. Packers have had quite a few, but that doesn't mean that they cannot go on and do great things this year.
It almost seems inconsequential, but there was a game yesterday, and the Packers did win, so that's the good news right now. Your impressions of Sunday's game, one in which it appeared the Packers kind of had command all day, but just couldn't put the Browns away until late. What did you come away from yesterday's game thinking?
You know, Brian, based on the quarterbacks, I just never felt that this one was in doubt. I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers versus Brandon Whedon. That's just not a contest. Packers, six starters missing. Finley then made it seven. Yet Rodgers throws three touchdowns. Once again, zero interceptions. I mean, we're just getting used to that. You look at the quarterback ratings. So Rodgers is 117.8. Whedon, 48.6. And, you know, Cleveland's strength is supposedly their defense, but the Packers scored 31 on them. So I will say the whole onside kick debacle could have made it very interesting, and the Packers have some special teams work to do this week, but even then, even if the Browns had gotten that onside kick successfully, I just would have been shocked if they would have pulled off this victory. I just never really felt it was that much in doubt.
It didn't seem to me there were that many outstanding individual performances yesterday. Would you say it was a sloppy game? Did the weather have anything to do with it?
Sure, I think the weather had something to do with it. But I might beg to differ with you on the outstanding individual performances, because I really thought, you know, speaking of the next man up mentality, I mean, It was a coming out party for Jarrett Boykin. You know, he goes over 100 yards receiving. Eddie Lacy, just a workhorse. We just discussed Rodgers, but then, you know, defensively, you know, they're minus so many starters, yet they held the Browns to just one touchdown. And you've got, you know, as far as individuals, you got Lattimore, Tremont Williams, Mike Daniels. I mean, they all get sacks. I think Lattimore also had 12 tackles. So certainly, the rain made it sloppy, but the Packers played well despite the rain, which was even more impressive, I thought.
Fair enough. We're talking to Jesse Garcia of TMJ4 in Milwaukee, kind of transitioning to the book that's newly released here that you authored. Jesse, you're a reporter for TMJ4, but for some outside the Milwaukee market, I think people may know you from your sideline work during the preseason games and host of the Mike McCarthy Show. Could you kind of discuss some of the roles you've held in the media over the years?
Sure. I worked at WISC, which is a CBS affiliate in Madison, for 2 years right out of college. And then I've been at WTMJ now for 19 years. It's gone really fast. I hosted the Mike Holmgren Show, one of the first females in the country. I'm not sure, perhaps the first, to host an NFL coach's show. And then hosted the Mike McCarthy Show for years and also the preseason sideline reporter. I've also covered every other sport from, you know, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks to Olympians and, you know, NASCAR, anything else you can think of as a sportscaster. It's been a great job. It was my dream job, and I have really enjoyed it.
Now your book, My Life with the Green and Gold, just hitting bookshelves recently here. How would you describe the book? How is it set up? What do the chapters contain? Stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, the book just came out about 2 weeks ago, and, you know, I'll just kind of go through a few of the things, a few of the chapters in the table of contents. After kind of setting up a little bit of background about me, it goes to Super Bowl 45, behind the scenes, how a TV station covers a Super Bowl, et cetera, my impressions from Super Bowl 45. Then we backtrack in time to Super Bowl 31, followed by the White House trip, which I went on with the Packers, Super Bowl 32. There's a whole chapter on Brett Favre, Mike Holmgren, sideline reporting, Mike McCarthy, the team plane, which I went on, the team bus, team photographers, other Wisconsin sports, and then a couple of chapters about being a woman and women in the locker room. And then we talk about me trying to balance being a mother. I have two children. So that chapter is called Packers and Play-Doh. And then it ends with the last chapter is called Changes. And I'll just leave that as a mystery.
Is there kind of one favorite story from the book that, you know, you have all these chapters on the Super Bowl and stuff like that? Is there any kind of one story, one anecdote you could give us a glimpse into, a sample from the book, maybe something that people may not know about the Packers?
Sure. I'll give you more than one, but I'll be brief. I
sure.
Promise.
By all means, you can be long-winded on this show if you want to, but go ahead.
Well, I mentioned the team plane and the team bus, and both are detailed quite a bit in the book. And my entire goal really with the book was to show the coaches and players and reporters and everybody, you know, as human beings. And so there's, you know, details of people joking with each other on the plane, you know, showing us what they were reading on the bus, interacting with fans at each stop. Another example in the Mike McCarthy chapter, we followed him for a whole day. I think fans would be amazed to see that all he does in one day behind the scenes. And we also got to see him eating lunch with his young daughter, you know, things that make him a father, that sort of thing. And then to me, I think the sideline reporting chapter might really appeal to Packers fans just to see how it's done from a reporter's standpoint and how much goes into it and some of the bloopers that did or almost made the air, you know, things like that as well. So I had a lot of fun writing that chapter as well.
I saw, you know, what was it during the preseason where the reporter on Fox, the name escapes me, took the football to the head live on air. Pam Oliver. Does that ever happen to you?
Thank goodness I've never been nailed by a football, because that is a scary thing. She wound up with a concussion from that. And, you know, I can only imagine how incredibly shocking that would be to not even know it was coming, and then it just hits you in the side of the head. So I've had a few close calls, you know, where I've had to get out of the way, but nothing like that has happened. But, you know, all kinds of other things that are both funny and interesting and honest. I tried to be as honest as I possibly could in this book about, you know, some of the highs and lows and just really the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on.
Now, the book touches a little on working in a male-dominated profession, football in general. You know, only men play the game. So how many challenges have you faced, in terms of gender? At this point in your career, do you still encounter challenges with gender or maybe just, that females in general deal with in this profession?
At this point in my career, I don't think I really face that many challenges as far as being a woman, just because it's so common these days. Everywhere you look, there are female sports reporters, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. But early on in my career, and I detail a lot of this in the book as well, as an example, when I was working in Madison, I was one of the first times that I had actually anchored a sportscast, and a man called up afterwards, and he said, "I am never going to watch Channel 3 again." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you're a chick, and chicks know nothing about sports." So, to look back on that, I realized that I was going to have to work really hard, extra hard, more so than my male colleagues, to prove to people that I knew sports and that I could talk about sports. So in the long run, I was very angry that when, taking that call, but in the long run, it probably made me stronger because I had to work harder.
For our listeners who are interested in perhaps purchasing this book, what is the preferred method for people to obtain it, or maybe how can they buy it online? What should they do?
Sure, the easiest way, it's on Amazon.com, and that's probably the easiest way to pick it up. It was published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press out of Madison, and it's on their website as well. And it's starting to pop up in local bookstores. I've been told that it's at a couple of Barnes & Nobles in the Milwaukee and Madison area. And I know that it's at a few local bookstores as well in the Milwaukee and Madison area, locally owned. So if people see it in the bookstore, if they wanted to get it online, I'd be honored.
I have my copy. I just got in the mail last week. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm enjoying thumbing through it, kind of checking out some of the stories, reading little bits and pieces here and there. But it's great. And Jesse, I really appreciate you joining us on the show this morning. And I wish you all the best of luck with this book.
Thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate you having me on. And go Packers.
All right. Thank you. Jesse Garcia of TMJ4 joining us here at Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Great to have her on the show talking about her recently released book. Please, by all means, go get it. All about her career and working with the Green Bay Packers. So go get a copy of that. Like she said, Amazon.com, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. In fact, if I put the little video up briefly here on our Cheesehead TV, I have a picture of the book. Here's the cover I can show off. If you're watching the live version of the show, you won't be getting the audio, or you won't be getting the video on the podcasted version. But go grab the book. Glad to have Jesse Garcia joining us on the show, and glad to have you, the listener, joining us. We're talking about yesterday's Packers victory over the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, all that we can kind of do here on a Monday morning, I think everybody's attention is on the health and well-being of Packers tight end JerMichael Finley. I wrote about in this morning Packers calendar at Cheesehead TV. Obviously you had a concern last night. You saw JerMichael Finley take the hit, absorb the hit to the head, the neck area. He's motionless on the field. They have to get the stretcher out. Everybody has, your heart goes out to him. But I think people, you hear after the game, and you even saw it on the cameras, you hear he had motion in his extremities, and I think you're comforted by that a little bit. And then you wake up this morning, and the report from ESPN, from Chris Mortensen, that JerMichael Finley is in the intensive care unit, and all of a sudden your heart drops a little bit, and you're like, wow, this could be a little bit more serious than maybe I thought, maybe, or at least hoped. I don't know how to react at this point. The details are certainly not in. It is too early to speculate what might happen, what might be wrong. But I mean, the natural instinct is to fear the worst when you're in the intensive care unit, and I can certainly see how people's minds go to, wow, I mean, he could never play again. But again, it's too early to say at this point to say, you know, that for sure. I did see a tweet by, I think it was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network saying, he is in the hospital, but just precautionary or something like that, according to a source. Again, that's one person's report. I don't know how much stock to put into that. I hope that's the case, and you hold out hope for JerMichael Finley here, but it's certainly you know, some big sobering news here that the Packers are dealing with, and we're going to be waiting for news later today on the status of JerMichael Finley. Head coach Mike McCarthy does meet with reporters today. He has a press conference, you know, his weekly day after game press conference happens every week after the Packers have a football game the next day. Today it's at 3 o'clock p.m. I saw on the Packers official website, I think. So at 3 p.m., Mike McCarthy will be giving an update. You know, how much he'll be able to share about JerMichael Finley, I don't really know. Maybe, but even just confirmation at this point, I think is newsworthy of his whereabouts. Is he still in the hospital? Even that at this point is news. So we kind of wait on that. That'll be coming later today. Anyway, I suppose we discuss a game here. It is almost seems inconsequential when a guy's in the ICU and we're talking about a football game. But the good news, you can feel good about a Packers victory yesterday. Perhaps a little bit of a sloppy one, and kind of the rain did play into that. And you know what? One of the impressions I wanted to share of the game, having somewhat to do with the sloppiness or the rain, that I thought was really, really interesting, was that so yesterday that you come into the game, the Packers are dealing with all sorts of injuries, you know, prior to JerMichael Finley's injuries all over. That Randall Cobb isn't playing. James Jones, who they hoped would maybe play on Sunday, he's on the inactive list. He's not playing. So the Packers dealing with injuries all over. And then it starts to rain, and really the rain literally starts just at kickoff, just before kickoff, and it never was a hard rain all game. It wasn't a downpour by any means, but just kind of this persistent, rain that's coming lightly down, but it's persistent. And you get to think, well, the Packers, they're going to rely on the run game. That's the impression, right? You have to think that's what the Cleveland Browns are thinking. They don't have Randall Cobb. They don't have James Jones. They're going to pound Eddie Lacy. That's what you had to come into the game thinking, right? Well, wrong. The Packers come out passing on the first 7 plays of the game, and I love that play call. Here's a team that has been, you know, building this reputation of a running team all year long, or at least an improved running team all year long, and they come out and throw the ball the first 7 plays of the game, including to JerMichael Finley before he went out. He made a great impact in the game. He looked really good before he went out, which you know, makes this news all the more sad, I suppose. But yeah, so the Packers, they come out roaring. They come out and they take the early lead, and they march right down the field, and they get a touchdown, and everything's hunky-dory. And again, I just thought that the play calling was fantastic there. That you know, between the injuries and the Packers' newfound success in running the ball, and the fact that, you know, it's raining, but I think it was the perfect time right at the beginning of the game to throw before, you know, because it had just started raining. So if there was ever a time when, you know, it's still a little bit dry out, you know, it's at the beginning of the game in the first quarter where the rain really hasn't made an impact yet, although it could get sloppy late, you know, why not? come up throwing the ball, and you know, Jordy Nelson's still out there, and Jarrett Boykin makes an impact, and Jarrett Boykin, I think, is the story of the game, but he had the best individual performance, I would say, from Sunday. Jarrett Boykin catching a team high 8 passes, I think it was. He got over the 100-yard mark. I'm gonna have to go pick up Jarrett Boykin on my fantasy team, I guess. I mean, in a situation where the Packers were missing so many targets and coming away from a game last week against the Baltimore Ravens where it just didn't seem that Aaron Rodgers and Jarrett Boykin were in sync. Rodgers had targeted Boykin several times in that Ravens game, and sometimes the pass was off, sometimes Boykin had dropped it, and it just didn't seem like they were totally on the same page. And to go from that to the game against Cleveland, where Boykin is making a big impact, that was such a big deal on Sunday, and a big part of the Packers' success, with the offense, maybe not moving the ball with as much consistency as they would like, but enough to get the job done. JerMichael Finley, he goes out, but I mean, prior to going out, he has a good game for 3 quarters. He was in contention for player of the game honors and still would get it anyway, perhaps, but Aaron Rodgers distributing the football, he did a good job. I think despite the conditions, despite the wet conditions, getting the ball to Finley, to Boykin, to Nelson and everybody else, getting the ball to the running backs and Miles White making his NFL debut. Looking really good. Defensive side of the football, I really like the play again of Jamari Lattimore and the inside linebacking duo of AJ Hawk and Jamari Lattimore. That I think they each make 12 tackles apiece. Combined, they're making 24 tackles on the day, the inside linebackers. But it is a team effort. Of course, it's the defensive lineman in front of them keeping bodies off the inside linebackers. But, with Jamari Lattimore in specifically here, and that isn't to demean the play of A.J. Hawk by all means. He's having a very, very good season. Glad to just see him be solid here week in and week out this year. But with Lattimore, you never knew what to expect with him. He would be at the beginning of the season, he's the 4th string inside linebacker. It took injuries to both Brad Jones and Rob Francois for Lattimore to see the field. And now that he is seeing the field, he's doing terrific. I think he shows terrific range out there. I think to me, that's almost his best quality. He just seems to get from sideline to sideline quicker than any of the other linebackers on the roster, the inside linebackers. But he really has a nose for the football. Got through for a sack yesterday, playing solid football. I almost have to wonder, is he playing better football than Brad Jones? I still give Brad Jones the edge in experience. Brad Jones seems to be the better blitzer of the two. But again, I haven't seen Jamari Lattimore a whole lot here. We're talking about a small sample size, of course. But I guess this is a good good dilemma to have when you're having two guys who were debating who should be out there, and they're both playing basically good football. Brad Jones, you assume he now missed his second game with a hamstring injury. He's going to be back sometime soon. I can't make guarantees he's going to be back this upcoming week, but the feeling you're getting, the impression is that, Brad Jones isn't going to be out long, but, Jamari Lattimore has filled in great, so he's doing a good job. And then the Packers secondary yesterday shutting down some talented Cleveland receivers. Obviously, Brandon Wheat, Jesse Garcia mentioned it, his passer rating was like in the 40s. There's a world of difference between Brandon Wheat and Aaron Rodgers, but You know, he does have talented targets. Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron. You know, he couldn't distribute them the football, and they didn't make plays because of the Packers' secondary did such a good job shutting them down. And again, Sam Shields, it just seems every week it's been trending upward almost. What, you know, since the first game of the year, Anquan Boldin goes off, and Shields was on him many times, at least. I don't, you know, not every snap, but so Anquan Boldin goes off the first game of the year. But ever since then, it seems like Sam Shields is shutting down opposing wide receivers, shutting down Josh Gordon yesterday. The week before that, he's helping to shut down the Ravens' top target. And, you know, every team we played so far, A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals. And, yeah, there might be a play here and there where Sam Shields screws up on. But they've been few and far between. Kudos to Sam Shields and Devon House yesterday for getting the first interception of his career. It took Devon House 3 years to get his first interception. Hopefully they start coming at a faster clip now on, but the more he plays well, the more he's going to be out there on the field. So there's hope that may happen. In fact, so yesterday, all weekend long, Saturday, Sunday, throwback weekend in Green Bay. What a terrific time. In fact, you might be able to tell my voice is probably a little bit deeper today. I can talk, but my voice is a little bit sore and just, you know, after a weekend of screaming at a Packer game and you know, trying to talk over DJs and loud music has done a little bit of a job on my vocal cords, but. Anyway, Throwback Weekend was so fun. The Cheesehead TV sponsored event. It was the third annual edition of Throwback Weekend, and it was just, you know, a really good time and a great event. We were at the Green Bay Distillery Saturday night. We had the tailgate before the game Sunday morning. Lots of good people, and I wish I could talk to people longer. There were so many people there, so many bloggers I got to meet. Leviticus on our live blog right now, Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundOff.com. Go check out their website. I had the pleasure to meet Jeremy this weekend and the good people there at Titletown Sound Off. So go visit their website. I got to talk to the guys from PackerRanter.com, albeit briefly, and it's such a shame. All the bloggers, all the micro bloggers, all the people, the personalities from Twitter that I got to meet, and it was just literally you talk to people for a couple minutes, and that's all. That you only have time for that much because there's so many people there. I apologize if I didn't, you know, get a chance to talk to anybody longer than I could have or should have. But it really was a great time. And of course, capped off by a Packers victory. Kudos to the organizers, Wally Pingle of PocketDoppler.com and Kyle Kuzno of ThrowbackWeekend.com. Those guys putting together this event and really doing a good job. Good job there, guys. And I really had a good time and hope to do it again next year. Hope we, Cheesehead TV, we'll sponsor it again. I see no reason we wouldn't. So we are looking forward to it. So, glad to see everybody who made it. And if you didn't make it, make sure to put on your calendar for next year. I'm sure they'll let you know as soon as the NFL schedule comes out in the off season when it is. So anyway, Packers victory, and that's the main thing. It's a little bit depressing here on a Monday morning hearing news of JerMichael Finley's injury in light of yesterday's game. But at least the Packers get the victory. They are now in first place in the NFC North Division. The Bears losing yesterday. The Lions losing yesterday. So the Packers starting to take control of the division for the first time all year that they've been in first place. It took a while. It took the first 7 weeks of the season. But now they're in first. And you can see this is a team building momentum. And right now, they're getting it done. While injuries are an issue, you have the feeling of, hey, they can win these three straight games. If they can do it with the injury issues they're having, just wait until these guys get healthy. I think Packers fans are feeling good about themselves because they know Clay Matthews is coming back in a few weeks. James Jones will be coming back. Randall Cobb sometime in December, hopefully coming back. I think people are feeling like, wow, once these guys get back, this could be a really, really dangerous team that the Packers have assembled right now. So that is the good news and the encouraging news on a day when JerMichael Finley's dealing with a major injury issue right now, and we wait to hear more on the situation. But anyway, feel good about a Packers victory. Victory Monday, as they call it in Green Bay. So that's certainly a good thing to feel good about right now. But we'll see you later, folks. Thank you for joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. We'll be back once again with our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who joins us every Wednesday here on the show at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for that matter. So on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.